Hello everyone and welcome to Team Early Childhood Podcast. It's a really special one this week. It's one that we haven't planned, but I feel like it's really, really important that we get the voice of Elaine Bennett. Hi Elaine.
Hello Aaron.
How are you?
Oh, exhausted like everyone else is, but yeah, I'm hanging in there,
Good. And Elaine, you're doing this special podcast, Team Early Childhood Podcast, for us, which is all about the national campaign around EYFS reforms. Before we go into that, everyone, if you don't know who Elaine Bennett is, she is still a practicing reception teacher, and she's also the founder of the Keep Early Years Unique. And to be fair, it's an honour to have you here, Elaine. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Right, hi. So my name's Elaine. I'm a reception teacher down in Essex. And before I was a teacher, I was a nursery nurse. And I'm really passionate about, you know, the unique child and keeping children's development at the heart of everything we do. And, you know, I've been working in early years now, one way or another, for about 25 years. And what I started to notice and feel was that it was becoming more and more difficult to work in the way that we know is right and true. And although we keep doing what we know we must do, it isn't always very popular in terms of, you know, play-based pedagogy. So about 5 years ago, I started getting into social media and started seeing lots of things about the early years. And a lot of the discussions that I was seeing people having were just really quite worrying to me as a practitioner. So, you know, things like, oh, why can't the children sit still on the why aren't the children sitting still on the carpet?
Yeah.
And yet they've only been in school, you know, like a few days. And I started seeing some of these sort of posts and I began to think, wow, you know, this makes me feel quite uncomfortable. So when I sort of started challenging it in quite a polite way, I was kind of getting jumped upon, which is when I went away and started my own Facebook group, Keeping Early Years Unique. So that's 5 years ago. And it was just me and my friend Leah, another local teacher.
Yeah.
And it was really just meant to be a group for teachers, just to talk, you know, people sort of on our page, just to talk and chat, support each other, really.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, with the pressure that early years is under. And it just kind of, yeah, that was it. There was two of us. And now there's on our way to 50,000 of us.
I can't believe it. 50,000 people. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And what really happened was it sort of changed from becoming this kind of just a little safe haven, really, for like-minded people. And it began to become a bit of a movement. And I can tell you now, I really never thought I'd be doing a lot of the things that I'm doing. I never thought I would kind of become a bit of an advocate, an activist, really, for early years. But it kind of happened by accident and out of necessity.
Well, can I just say you're brilliant at doing it. It's really, really
thank you.
To have your voice. And I mean, everybody knows that you came to Brewhead on Saturday.
Mm.
And you know, you had like a standing ovation, you know, a virtual standing ovation. So it was brilliant, really. So thank you, Elaine. And I just still, you know, I'm still shocked that you've got 50,000. But it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Running a group like that is really challenging.
Yeah.
And you know that not all of those people are really active members, but there's a lot of people there that maybe don't feel that they can get involved, but they're watching and it supports, you know, it supports people. I think it supports a lot of people.
It does. So really, we're here to talk about the national campaign that was released today, which, can I just say, sends chills up and down, you know, positively up and down my spine every time I watch it, because it's just so powerful. And you know, I normally ask six questions, but this is a special one, just for you, Elaine, and for the national campaign. So my question to you is, obviously you've done a national campaign today for the EYFS reforms. Can you tell us a bit about it, but also why it's important that we know about it as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this isn't the first campaign that we've led. I mean, you know, we wrote an open letter about bold beginnings. We've challenged baseline as part of More Than a Score. And we've also challenged sort of some of the, you know, some of the criteria around the people who have actually shaped this current framework. But this one, this campaign feels really, really different. And I think the reason it feels so different is because this is huge. These reforms are huge. And what they are proposing is going to affect every one of us who's working in the early years from birth to five. So this is really, it's a campaign that's kind of been born out of frustration.
Keeping
early years unique is part of the early years coalition. So, you know, we worked together. We commissioned a document called Getting It Right in the Early Years. It'd be great if you could share that link for us, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, but when we saw the reforms initially, what was proposed, we gave the DfE 84 pages of evidence about our concerns and actually what the EYFS needs to be. This is proven, you know, this is evidence. It was a review by CREC. We went to LED events, you know, we had roundtable discussions with the DfE. We did the consultation. I guess I was always hopeful, maybe naively, that we would actually be heard and that we'd, as the people, including myself on the floor, I guess I thought we'd be heard. And then we got the consultation response and it became very evident that we have not been heard. Yeah. And what is proposed, as the video shows very clearly, for children from birth to five, this is not just about reception children, what is proposed is really an assault on early years education. Because of the way it's been done and how the sector's been ignored, but B, because of some of what's been removed. And some of the rewording is very, very carefully done, but the impact of it is going to be absolutely huge. I do want to make it really clear that these reforms are not due to come into being statutory until September 2021. So the only people who will be looking at it from September this year will be anyone who's chosen to early adopt. But you can and you have got the right to opt out of that. So I don't want anyone to think from hearing this, they've got to start implementing the framework from September because you haven't.
So actually you're saying that people can still choose.
Opt out.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I think if people, this is like a short podcast.
Yeah.
The best advice I could give anybody, if you really want to know about these reforms, can you please, Aaron, share the link for the early education event last night?
Yeah.
Because there was a webinar last night. I haven't looked at it now, but I know this morning we were looking at 22,000 people had viewed that webinar. And that was a panel webinar of, you know, some very highly esteemed colleagues of mine speaking out about these reforms. And we looked at different elements of it each on a panel. So if you want to know a lot more,
really balanced as well and really informed, you know, not just by research, but by practice. You know, the child was at the centre of everything that you were talking about. And it was just powerful. It really, really was.
That's an hour long. So I would say to anyone listening, if I can give you an outline, but if you really want to know the ins and outs at a much deeper level than I can ever go into here. Number one, watch the video and listen to the script because that tells you a lot. And number two, go to the Early Education Facebook page and watch. I mean, I can't get onto Facebook now, but I'd love to know how many it's had by now. It was 22,000 this morning.
And what advice would you give to reception teachers that potentially, you know, could be early adopters? What advice would you give to them?
I would first of all really advise them to look at the Early Education website, who has got a great paper, which is called, I think it's something like Advice for Head Teachers About Early Adoption. That spells out really powerful arguments. If there's any way that you can speak to your head teachers and not have to early adopt, that is the way to go. Because ultimately, in September, our priority must be our children and not trying to get our head around a completely new framework. Which is what it is. So if you can have those discussions, I think also as a reception teacher, I'd be talking to my head teacher about the impact of this on your workload. Because despite the narrative coming out, this will increase your workload in this early adoption year. Again, when you should be really focusing on your children, their transition and those sorts of things. So I think first of all, I would really try and speak to your head teachers and see if you can not just say I want to opt out, give them the evidence, show them, talk about the children, talk about you as a teacher and the impact it's going to have on you and on the children. If they still say you've got to do it, then I guess, you know, you have to get it through, look at what's being asked of you. But I would say to everybody listening, you have to, you cannot get caught up in getting lost in this framework right now. Even if you're told to early adopt it, your children must be your absolute priority.
Yeah, I agree. So what do you want us to do with this national campaign, Elaine? Like, what can we do as a network to support the national campaign of the UIFS reforms?
We need to get it out there far and wide, because, you know, the people listening to this podcast, Aaron, you know, the fact is the people who tune into this are going to be people that know about this, people who are interested, people who are working in the sector and people who are completely on our page. We need to get it beyond. Yeah. We need to get it to parents, because many of them don't have a clue what's coming. And a lot of them will think, oh, if the government say it, it must be fine. It must be right. So that video, I think, is very hard hitting for parents to get that out there. And I think head teachers, again, to really target our head teachers and show them the reality of this.
Obviously, you've got a hashtag, which is right from the start.
There's a hashtag. You know, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, you know, come and join the Keeping Early Years Unique Facebook page. I am on Instagram, but I'm not too good at that. But I've got a bit of help with that at the moment. I think the thing is just talk and share and help us in any way you can.
I think you've literally told us, you know, you've really kind of hit the nail on the head. And if anybody within the Team Early Childhood community can do what Elaine's suggesting, which is, you know, go and read the documents that she's stated on the Early Education website, watch the Early Education webinar, share that too. Share the video that Elaine's made with Keep Early Years Unique, and you've had some support with that, haven't you, Elaine?
Oh my goodness, it's been phenomenal. I mean, in the space of literally a week, we have done something, and obviously we can't actually get together, it's all been done virtually. The support from Siren Films has been amazing. Katrina's put this together for us. We've had some sponsorship from both Kim Scott and also Pete at Cozy. But I think people really do need to realise the impact of what's coming and how it's going to negatively impact on children, and not just reception children. It is really an attack on good early years pedagogy. And to quote Kim at an event with Jules this morning, an interview we did on Early Years Talking, we should not. I'm hearing people say, oh, you know, we can make it work, take a principled approach, you know, we can do it. Why should we have to? Why should we have to keep making things okay that are really not okay? Why are we as a sector not being heard?
People aren't listening to the voices. That's the most important, isn't it? It's about making sure that, you know, those voices that actually work with the children, you know, those voices of the professionals that work within reception, it's really, really important that we get that too. So this leads me on, Elaine. I know we only said we'd do one question, but everybody that listens normally to my podcast know full well that I always ask the one question at the end, and I'm going to ask it you because I think it's really important. If I could grant you three wishes, what would they be? Put you on the spot now.
Right. First of all, it would be to stop these dreadful reforms.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, review them in light of the world we're now living in and what we know matters for children. Secondly, it would be a kindergarten stage for children up to the age of seven. Children in year one and year two should not be jumping through the hoops they're jumping through. As a nursery nurse, to me, early years is birth to seven. It happens in most of the world. It's not happening here. We're actually going back in time here, not forward. Yeah. So a kindergarten stage, birth to seven. And a workforce across the early years that is truly respected, truly valued, paid what they need to be paid, and within our sector, you know, our sector to have the funding it so truly deserves.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think you've just summed up everything that is what we need in early years, and you've summed it up absolutely right. Thank you so much, Elaine. I know this was a quick podcast, but I'm going to share it this evening. Mm-hmm. Everybody, please get behind the campaign. Make sure that you're sharing, you're hashtagging, hashtag right from the start. You're tagging in Keep Early Years Unique, and you're letting everybody know about this national campaign.
I'll just say one final thing before we go. I know that being an early year, sometimes, you know, we're told to calm down, we're told we're being negative, we're told we're being naysayers, you know, we're told we're being hysterical, I've heard it all. But we must never calm down when it comes to our children. And, you know, perhaps you're at home, perhaps you're a childminder who works in your own home, perhaps you're a teacher in a one-form entry school. Perhaps you think that you alone can't do anything about this, but trust me, you can, because you're not alone. And it's only by our sector coming together and standing up that we can start to challenge some of this absolute nonsense that not only impacts on us as a workforce, but ultimately on our children and their families.
Powerful words, Elaine. Thank you so, so much. And it's been an absolute pleasure listening to you, as it was on Saturday, and also listening to you on the early education webinar yesterday. So thank you so much, Elaine.
Oh, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Speak to you soon.
I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.